Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You ever been caught by surprise going into a store, unplanned, unprepared? You know, you're dropping your kid off for an early morning practice, or they have to catch a bus for a field trip, and you haven't had time to shower, put on anything decent. And on the way home, you remember, oh, I need to stop by and pick up that one item at the store. It's just going to be in and out. You're there, and you hear a familiar voice. Someone calls out your name. And normally, you like to meet people. You like to see friends. But not on a day like that. On that day, you want to run and hide because all of a sudden, you see yourself and you think, do I really look like this out in a public place? It's a moment of self-revelation. Tonight, we have a moment of self-revelation, a moment of self-discovery for Peter. Peter sees who he is in terms of his denial. But by God's grace, Jesus holds out another picture for us. A picture of who Jesus is to Peter, his Savior. This evening, we're going to meditate on these two pictures. Peter's denial and Peter's Savior. And in doing so, we pray we grow in trust of our Savior, who enters into our places of denial and turns them into places of renewal in his Spirit and in his love. Consider the courtyard, the place of Peter's denial. As we listen to the conversation that Peter has there sitting around the fire, you see more and more of Peter's life stripped away. Kind of like watching a crack in the foundation slowly spreads, eventually bringing the whole house to ruin. The servant girl, she's the first to reveal the problem. She mentions the relationship between Jesus and Peter. Says, this man was also with him. She puts Peter and Jesus together. And Peter denies it. I do not know him. Crack in the foundation. He denies his Lord. And when your relationship with Jesus is broken, it doesn't take long for everything else to give without Jesus fixing it. Well, from there, we move to Peter's relationship with not only with Jesus, but also the disciples. Someone says, you also are one of them. So we start with Peter and Jesus, and now Peter and the disciples, and he denies being one of the 12. Well, finally, someone offers a bigger picture. He says, certainly this fellow is with him, for he too is a Galilean. So not only is it just between Peter and his Lord, now denying one of the 12, but he rejects all of the ministry in Galilee. He says, no, that's not me. When your relationship with Jesus is broken, the crack continues to widen. Well, at this very moment, Peter has a moment of painful self-revelation. He hears a sound, sees a face, and remembers a word. Luke says, immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at him. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord. That's much worse than hearing your name in a grocery store when you're in your pajamas with uncombed hair. Peter, at this point, remembers and he sees. He remembers what Jesus said. He probably also remembers what he said to Jesus. Peter, he said, "Lord, I would follow you to prison. I will follow you to death." But instead, he denied that he even knew him. Denied that he had been one of his disciples. Denied being a part of what went on the past 3 years. That's a moment of spiritual self-revelation. By our own might, we are unable to follow Jesus. Praise be to God that our salvation is not dependent on what we do for Jesus. Never has been, never will be. If we ever rely upon our own strength rather than His, we have entered into a place of denial. That's what really makes the things that in our life places of denial. It's not the drama of having people question you about your faith with Jesus. We're always quick to whip out the catechism answers when that happens. However, it's in our day-to-day workings when we simply rely upon our own strength, our own will, our own ability to figure it out, our own intestinal fortitude. When we do that, it is easy to enter into a place of denial. We see it in our lives. We see it in our moments of self-revelation when we realize our intestinal fortitude isn't enough. And we cannot follow our Lord into prison or to death by our own will or by our own strength. And we fail. We're weak. We're sinful. There is no strength in here. And in those despairing moments, all we can say is we are lost in sin and cannot set ourselves free. That's where our moments of self-denial take us, or our moments of denial take us. It is at these moments and to such people who are in these places of denial, like us. This is to whom Luke is writing, and he offers another word and another picture. We have the word of Christ, the story of his passion. This account in the courtyard is not a story of failure, because in the midst of Peter's failure, in the midst of Peter's denial, Jesus is and remains the one who takes away sin. Our salvation doesn't depend on how much we can bear the load for Jesus. All that matters is that He has borne our burdens for us. Our forgiveness is not dependent on us saying the right words or doing the right things. It rests securely on what He has done for us and His word of promise that comes to us again and again. In the face of Peter's denial, Peter denying that he knows him, that he's an apostle. He denies being a part of Jesus' ministry. Peter denies all of this. Jesus continues to be his Lord and Savior. While Peter goes out to weep bitterly, Jesus continues to the cross to suffer and die for that man who is weeping. It is His work, His love, His mercy that overcomes sin. It's his doing. Not Peter's, not ours. We are the object of his love. There was nothing more important to Jesus than becoming our refuge and shield. All of Adam's children, we stand condemned under the wrath of the law. Jesus chose to stand in harm's way between us and that judgment. This was his passion. He is obsessed with being merciful. That's who God is. We're not saved by giving our lives up for Jesus. Jesus saves us by giving his life up for you and me, for the forgiveness of our sins. That's what Luke reveals this evening. When Peter's caught in this act of denial, Jesus continues in his act of love and mercy. And by doing this, Luke asks us to see a different picture. The picture of a Savior's love. Because Jesus comes to us in our most awkward of moments. He doesn't wait around until we get all of it together. You know, he doesn't wait around until we have overcome our temptations and fought our demons and conquered our sin and achieved our goals and, you know, fought back all that was, you know, plaguing us. And now, Lord, I've got myself in a right place. I'm ready for you. That's not how he works. No, he comes now while we struggle. He comes now while we confess our failures. Comes right now, at the very moment when we feel like we will never be the person that God intended for us to be or wants us to be. He comes now to assure us that by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your doing. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast, as St. Paul says. Jesus comes to you tonight, right now, with a love that never changes. You know, time passes by and our life is filled with so many significant changes, significant milestones. You know, as the father of someone who's graduating high school and another one who's graduating from St. James this year, transitions are heavy on our minds in the Eden house. You know, I look back at my own life and you know, the times of moving from the home of our parents, you know, to a college dorm, and from a dorm to an apartment to a house to a condo, from a condo to a retirement center, from a retirement center to a skilled nursing facility, from a skilled nursing facility to the grave. And from our grave, we will be raised to live in our Savior's kingdom for all eternity. Now, not everyone progresses through each step along the way. However, no matter where you are in your life, Jesus remains the same. He doesn't change. He's the one who forgives. He's the one who saves. And even in the end, even after death and the grave, we will be raised up by him, the same one that we have always known since the day of our baptism, the one who went to the cross to die for Peter, for you, for me. The one who rose again, who was the first fruits of the resurrection, who left behind the empty grave, so the grave cannot hold us either. This same Jesus is the one who comes tonight and pronounces that you are forgiven. He brings a picture of his love that we see not in the failures of the courtyard, but in what Christ did, continuing on, being who he always is. He always is the one showing mercy, showing forgiveness, offering forgiveness. In those times when you are faced with a painful self-revelation, and I'm talking about more than just being in the store in your pajamas. In those times when you're faced with the painful self-revelation of this life, Luke wants you to see your Savior. Trust in his love. Live in his kingdom. Pray in his name. And be confident that you know him and he will not change. And Jesus enters into our places of denial and makes them places of renewal, new life that he brings through his mercy, grace, and love. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.